I'd like to invite you to be finding Romans chapter 12 in your Bible. Romans 12, we'll begin in a moment at verse 9 and be reading through verse 18. I have a thank you note, and I'd like to read some of it to you. This is from Randy and Denise Hall. Denise is the daughter of Jerry Loveless Smith of our congregation. Randy is her son-in-law who's been suffering from cancer, and we've been praying for him for weeks and weeks and weeks now, and they want us to know what these prayers mean. So just two small words to express so much gratitude. And Denise writes, Randy and I would like to let all of you know that we sincerely appreciate all the thoughts and prayers from you all. All the cards with encouraging well wishes have been very uplifting. We especially want to thank my mom for always being there for us. She has no idea what she means to us. We're very grateful for all of you. We will keep you updated. That's from Randy and Denise Hall. And Randy's still having treatments and still in the midst of this battle with cancer. So please continue to remember that family in your prayers. Romans 12, beginning at 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. A Christian missionary was back in the States raising funds so that he could return to Africa and continue his mission work there. And at a particular congregation, he was confronted by an angry Christian. And the Christian said, "How can you go to Africa and preach to them about love when there's so much injustice right here in your own country?" And that missionary calmly responded and said, "We don't go to Africa and preach to them about love. We go to Africa and we love them." What the world needs now is a church that doesn't just preach about love. The world needs a church that loves. I'm seeing more and more Christians, especially preachers, get caught up in this hateful political and social and racial rhetoric that is plaguing our nation. And I want you to know that you can get on Facebook and you can cite statistic after statistic and fact after fact, and you might be exactly right. But the people you are trying to persuade and convince are not going to care what you know until they know that you care. What the world needs now is a church that, yes, preaches love, but also practices love. The world needs a church that will turn to a passage like this one here in Romans 12. Read it as if reading it for the very first time, and then go out into this hateful, angry world and practice it. No matter what everybody else is doing, no matter what everybody else is saying, we take these words and we put them into practice on a daily basis in our lives. What does the world need now? It needs love. And let me say it four different ways from this passage. Number one, the world needs a sincere love. Verse 9 again, Paul says, love must be sincere. The original Greek says love must be without hypocrisy. Now, in antiquity, the word hypocrite wasn't a bad word. It simply meant an actor. In antiquity, just like today, people love their entertainment. And they love to go watch a drama or a comedy be acted out on a stage. And the actor up on the stage pretending to be this or that character was a hypocrite. But then Jesus and the writers of the New Testament begin to take that word that was morally neutral and use it in a negative way to describe people who pretend to be religious because of the advantages that pretension would bring to them. And Paul here uses this word to describe a pretend love. Christians who pretend to love others because of the advantages that it might bring to us, but the love is not sincere. And Paul says it must be sincere. Centuries ago, a man conned his way into the orchestra of the Chinese emperor. This was a very honored position to have. The orchestra was well fed and well paid and taken care of. And so any musician wanted to be a part of the orchestra, but this man learned how to pretend to play the flute. He learned how to mimic all of the movements of a seasoned player, musician, flutist. And this all went well, and he was living the high life until the emperor made an announcement. The emperor said, I want a solo performance from every musician in the orchestra. Well, the flutist realized that he had only days to learn how to really play the flute. And so he tried to get some lessons, and he did his best to learn, but finally he realized that it was just hopeless. And instead of appearing before the emperor and embarrassing and humiliating himself, he took his own life, committed suicide. And this event actually changed the language of the Chinese, and it's affected the English language too, because this is where we get our phrase, he refused to face the music. Paul says, if you're in God's orchestra, you better know how to love. And God knows the difference between real love and pretend love. You see, I can't just stand in a loving church and mimic and imitate and think that's going to be enough. One day I will stand before God and God will say, did you love me? And did you love your neighbor with a sincere love? And there'll be no place to hide when God asks me to answer that question. As we sang right before I stepped up here, love is the greatest commandment. Jesus said that in Matthew 22. Love is the greatest commandment. And doesn't that mean that failing to love would be the greatest sin? You might say, well, okay, I see the importance of love. I see the importance of a sincere love. But how do I do it? How can I make myself feel something that I don't really feel? Well, here's good news. Love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. The word described here, verse 9, is agape. It's godly love. And agape means choosing to want and work toward the positive good of another person. And you can make that choice whether you feel like it or not. And if you genuinely choose to want and to work toward the positive good of another, then you are practicing sincere love. So here is how you can make sure that you are loving. Put into practice these steps that we're going to talk about in the passage this morning. But then secondly, ask God for help in showing people sincere love, because remember, Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love. God will help you do it if you ask Him. Sincere love is what the world needs now. Number two, the world needs sanctified love. Now, in this passage about love, look again at verse 9, the B part. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. True love leads to a hatred of evil and to an attachment to good. Here's where the world gets off track concerning love. Love doesn't accept everything. Love doesn't approve of everything. Love doesn't allow everything. Love is desiring someone's positive good, and positive good only happens when a person is seeking and following the will of God. It was the Christmas season. The judge was in kind of a good mood, and so a man appeared before him, and he asked the defendant what charges had been leveled against him. And the defendant said, "Well, sir, I was just doing my Christmas shopping a little early." The judge said, "How early?" And the man said, "Before the store opened." Well, you know, God is always in the Christmas spirit because He sent Jesus to get the whole Christmas thing started, didn't He? But God is also judge, and He's not a judge that winks at sin, and neither should we. And so we must hate sin in our own lives and in the lives of others. Not hate people, not hate sinners, but yes, hate sin. And we need to cling to what is good and encourage other people to cling to what is good as well. I saw an interview recently, and I thought that the Christian minister who was on the interview handled it beautifully. There was a Christian minister here, there was a Jewish rabbi here, and there was a reporter in the middle trying to get a stir up, as they tend to do. And the Christian was holding to his position that Jews, even if they're good and sincere, if they don't accept Christ, are going to be lost. And of course, the reporter didn't like that stance, and so he kept goading the Christian. And finally, he said to the Christian, "Sir, are you honestly going to sit here and say that a good, moral, upright Jew who doesn't accept Jesus is going to be lost forever? Don't you think that's hateful?" And that Christian minister said to the reporter, "Sir, I believe that my own son, whom I love with all of my heart, if he doesn't receive Jesus, is going to be lost forever." And we can still be loving, folks, but love with a sanctified love, and we can hold on to that truth. Sanctified love. Number three, what does the world need now? It needs selfless love. If you look at verse 10, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves." Love is respecting and appreciating others so much that you actually are willing to put them before you. Love is being less concerned with being honored and more concerned with honoring others. Love is less concerned with being credited and being more concerned with crediting others. Love is being less concerned about your wants and needs and more concerned about the wants and needs of others. Coach Bear Bryant was doing a coaching clinic once, and he gave a speech and was taking questions from the coaches in the audience. And one of the coaches said, "Coach Bryant, what is your number one priority in recruiting players to come to Alabama and play football for you?" And I thought Coach Bryant's answer was very telling. He said, "The number one priority is to find out how a boy feels about his mama and daddy. If he loves and respects his mama and daddy, if he wants to obey them and please them, then he is ready to be a part of a winning team." Do you want to be a part of a winning team? Do you want to be a part of a winning marriage, a winning family, a winning business, a winning community, a winning congregation, a winning country? Then be willing to look to others and say, I want to do the best I can to please you. I'm going to put your wants and your needs above my own. That is a selfless love. And then finally, what does the world need now? It needs a steadfast love. 11 and 12 here, if you're in the text with us, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. So what about love when the bad times come? What about love when nothing is going right? What about love when it's hard? You stay with it. You're constant. I was reading about Dr. Robinson McQuillan. He was the president of Columbia Bible College. He was very successful. The college was thriving. People loved him. Things were going well. Donations were coming in. But his wife was suffering from Alzheimer's. And she got to the point where she needed 24-hour care. And he had to decide what to do. Because there's no way he could remain the president of this college and give his wife the kind of 24-hour care she needed. And so he decided to retire so that he could take care of her full time. He had an interview as he was going through the retirement process, and they asked him about deciding to care for his wife. And here's what he said. The reporter said, "When and how did you make this decision?" He said, "I made this decision over 40 years ago when I stood before God and said, in sickness and in health." And we need to look out in this world and say, we are deciding to love you, and we're going to be steadfast. When it's hard to love you, we're going to love you. When we've got to correct you, we're going to season it with salt. And we're going to let you know, even as we are correcting you, that we love you. And whatever we say is going to be out of a heart of genuine concern for the world around us. What the world needs now, as that old song said, is love, sweet love. And it needs to be the church that is leading the way in providing it. Halloween's coming up. I was reading about a man who was walking to a Halloween party. He was wearing a devil suit. And as he walked through town to get to the party, there was this torrential rainstorm that started. And so he ducked into the first building he could find to get some shelter. Happened to be a church, and it was having a worship service. And he started coming down the aisle in this devil suit, and the people saw him, and they were frightened, and they began to scatter, and everybody got out of there except one woman who was wearing a long dress, and this guy in the devil suit had stood on her skirt. She couldn't go anywhere. And after everybody else left, she looked up at that devil, and she said, "You know, sir, I've been on your side the whole time." How do you let the world know whose side you're on? You become a Christian. You become a Christian. You vote with your faith. Maybe you need to let this community and this world know whose side you are on. Come to Jesus and do that. Just express your faith in him, put him on in baptism, become a member of his church, and then go to work serving him and serving the world. If you need to do that, we invite you to do it right now as together we stand and as we sing.